You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
One in three of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's Happy program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under six or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Wadamooli, this is NITV Radio and I'm Kerry Lee Harding, and it's that time of the week again where we get to yarn all things science and technology with Wiradjuri woman and journalist Ray Johnston. Welcome back to the program, Ray.
Thanks for having me back, sis. It's always great to be here.
Lovely to have you back again, as we do every Friday on the program. And first up today, you're going to tell us a story about the frequency of extreme El Niño and La Niña events. They're expected to increase under future greenhouse warming. Is this right, sis?
Yeah, this is right. So a group of scientists at CSIRO and the University of New South Wales, the University of Melbourne and Monash University, they've all looked over the latest data that we have about our climate and about what the future holds, particularly on our soil. And they say that the extreme El Niño effects, they're the ones that bring the drier, hotter weather and the droughts, they're expected to increase. From what we currently have is 5.6 of them happening every century. And they're looking to increase to 8.9 events every century in the future. Mm. And the La Niña events, which are the colder, wetter ones that bring the floods, they're also going to increase from 5.6 events to 8.3 events. So we're going to have more El Niño, more of that hotter, drier droughts in the future, and more of the La Niña, but not as many. So I think we're just going to see a future with lots of extremes and less kind of normal weather in between these events, which is pretty scary to think about, but it's good to know what we're in for. So this research is important.
Absolutely. Sounds like we've got a mixed bag of weather coming up into the future. Hey, sis.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, the more that we look at the research that's been done in the past, the more we can try to predict what's going to happen in the future. But, you know, it's pretty hard to tell actually what's going to happen, because we might make changes to the way we live on this planet. We might make significant changes that really make a difference for better or for worse. So keeping up to date with what the future can hold is pretty important.
It sure is, sis. Now we go from talking about the extremes of El Niño and La Niña events to talking about spiders. And we're going to be talking about these creepy crawlies, how they're in southeast Queensland is now home to five new species of golden trapdoor spiders. Do tell me more, sis.
Yeah, I like spiders. I know I'm in the minority with that, but, you know, I grew up out bush and we're used to having the spiders all around. And as long as they weren't the ones that were going to hurt me, I didn't mind them being near me. So I know people get a bit queasy with the spider story sometimes, but I love this story. I think it's really exciting because, yeah, these new spiders, they're in southeast Queensland. Well, they're not new. They've just been described by scientists. That's a totally different thing. And they've been found in the inner city to the Bayside suburb of Burbank, and then also further afield to the Sunshine Coast and the Gold Coast hinterlands. Now, trapdoor spiders, they're known to make those plug door burrows with the door made out of soil and silk, and it sits flush with the surrounding soil when closed. So you don't know they're there until the lid pops up and they grab a prey and, you know, drag it back down into the burrow. Now, Queensland Museum scientists, they worked to uncover the species over a few years, actually. It was a pretty long process of discovery, and they combined fieldwork across Greater Brisbane with genetic research to understand exactly where each of these species are. And even after all that, they say that there's more species that will need to be described in the future. They just don't currently have all the information to describe them. Now, it's important to note, though, that despite being commonly known as golden trapdoors, these spiders are all different colours. you know, they can be dark red and light tan and every shade in between. Mm. But most of them look really similar to each other and they live near each other, which meant the researchers had to compare a really large amount of evidence to tell them apart. And they also use DNA to see how genetically similar they are. And you know, this kind of work, it is important because we're trying to protect all the species still living in those habitats in urban environments around Brisbane. And the first step for formal conservation with policy behind it is to name and describe these species. So once they've been done by scientists, they can be added to the list. But until we've done that, they can't. You know, we can't protect something that the formalities and the authorities and the paperwork doesn't know exists in the environment. So having five more species to add to the list means that we can help protect them into the future.
Too deadly to hear about those golden trapdoor spiders. Now you're going to tell us a story about the fact that if we hadn't protected the ozone layer, we'd already face a scorched earth. Is this right, Sis?
Yeah, I spoke a little bit earlier when we were talking about La Nina and El Nino about how the actions that we can take on Earth can really impact our future climate. And this is research that shows that in a very factual way. You know, banning CFCs back in the day, that has protected the climate in two ways. It's curbed the greenhouse effect and protected the ozone layer, which shielded plants from damaging increases in ultraviolet radiation from the sun. And this has protected the plant's ability to soak up and lock in carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, and it stopped a further acceleration of climate change. If we hadn't have stopped CFCs, the research now is showing that it would have led to a worldwide collapse in the ozone layer by the 2040s. Which really isn't that far away. We're talking, you know, 18 years away. We wouldn't have had an ozone layer, which would just be absolutely incredible. We wouldn't have a planet left. We wouldn't be living on it.
Wow.
Absolutely at this point. So, you know, it did take a huge global worldwide effort to curb and stop CFCs. And this is the kind of global effort that we're needing now as well with carbon emissions. I think it's really heartening to see research like this come out to show that we can have an impact and that it can do positive things for the future. So fingers crossed, this, you know, revelation can help spur some action on the carbon emissions front as well.
And it is good news to know that we have been protecting the ozone layer indeed, Sis.
Yeah, absolutely. And that it took something as simple as banning some gases. And you know, I say it's simple, but we did have a lot of industries and products that relied on these gases. They were able to adapt and able to change really quickly to fit the new rules to save the planet. And they did it and it worked. So I don't see any reason why we can't do that again.
Now we go from talking about the ozone layer to talking about the environment still, and chopping down trees may cause insects to lose their wings. How so, Sis?
Yeah, this is a quick little one for you. So researchers have found out that some native insects are becoming flightless as a way to cope with windier conditions after they've lost some shelter due to deforestation. When they chop down the trees, it makes it all a bit windier, and they're deciding to evolve to not fly around anymore. They've seen some really strong links between recent forest decline and the loss of wings in stoneflies, in particular in New Zealand, some research has shown. Now, usually changes in evolution like this, it happens over thousands of years. That's not happening over decades or even centuries. But this study shows that, you know, insects that used to have wings have evolved to become flightless in just a few hundred years. And unfortunately, this does place them more at risk of extinction. So it's something they're going to have to keep an eye on. But I think it's just absolutely incredible that animals can adapt so quickly in this way to their changing environment. I found that fascinating.
It's pretty deadly indeed. Ray Johnston, Wiradjuri woman and journalist, thank you so much for joining us again on our regular science and technology segment. It's been an absolute pleasure, as it is every week. Thanks, Sis.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sis, and happy Science Week.
And a very happy Science Week to you too. We'll see you next time, eh?
See you then.
See you, sis.
1 in 3 of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn and talk to others. Hearing Australia's HAPPY program offers free, safe and simple hearing checks for kids under 6 or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.